Welcome to the Martial Arts and Crafts Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Deacon, life balance coach for better adulting, martial artist, instructor, creative artist, wife, mother, and all-around person. Thank you for joining me on the show as we learn together how to make an impact through personal growth, responding to challenges, making choices, and learning more about our identity, belonging, and purpose. On to the show. Hello, and welcome to the Martial Arts and Crafts Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Deacon, and I am here with my good friend, Sean Stockman, today. Sean, why don't you introduce yourself?
Great idea, Sarah. My name is Sean Stockman. I am a father of three young children, long time, I'd say friend of Sarah through Karate America, and a financial planner with West Point Financial Group.
Fantastic. So yeah, as Sean mentioned, we met as we were in karate class together years ago. And Sean is one of my favorite people to kick around.
Literally.
Literally and figuratively, maybe.
Oh, she's abusive. Like, well, yes, but not like you have like two choices when sparring somebody. Like, you can either take it personally or just like laugh about it and enjoy the experience. And yeah, it's a quick way to form relationships, to start fighting people physically.
I don't know. Well, that's something that's, I've talked about on the podcast before about martial arts is, there's a social element, there's a physical element, there's the mental training that is all involved. So it's that big picture. And yeah, trusting somebody to kick you or trusting yourself to kick somebody else, that helps develop both physical and mental strength.
Well said, and totally true. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your journey to where you are. Let's go right into the professional area. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about entrepreneurship. You are a financial advisor with a company, and you have been an entrepreneur and are sort of doing that whole business building thing yourself right now. So talk a little bit about that. How did you get started with that?
No, thanks for asking. So it was, I think, like many small business owners or aspiring small business owners, I'm going to go into business for myself. And then they have like not like a false sense of like, oh, this is going to be successful, but the mainstream media is, oh my gosh, money's going to start falling from the trees. But I knew I was in sales for a long time, and I'm definitely an all-in person. So whatever I'm at or whatever I'm doing, there's no stone left unturned about, can I get certifications or credentials or what does excellence look like and stuff like that. And I started kind of selling and gravitating towards more complex things where I would feel that I was providing like a really interesting solution and it was exciting. But I was good from a technical sense, but I had some, hindsight's always 20/20, but I had some stuff holding me back. So single income family, and in the start of the pandemic, we had a little bit saved, and Lindy, my wife, and I were praying about it. We're like, okay, let's go all in. So I started a small business selling like walkie-talkie radio accessories, which sounds like really random, but I used to sell actual radio systems. So I was doing that, and I was also part-time with another financial firm. And part of this process of entrepreneurship, so I'll put a pin in that for a second. Anybody that's thinking about starting your own business or is just, want to learn more about the subject and kind of the realities of it as opposed to somebody's opinion, I highly recommend reading E-Myth Revisited. It is one of those things that I wish I would have read beforehand. And not that it dispels like a ton of assumptions or like, oh, for me, there was this really cool exercise, and it's pretty basic, but I thought it was impactful. They said, okay, you want to start your own company. Let's say you're fixing air conditioners, right? So make an org chart, draw out an organizational chart as if you had like a decent sized company. Okay, so you have president, you have HR, sales, whatever, you know, you have people that order parts, all this stuff. Now, if you're the only person, write your name in every single bubble. And for me, when I heard that, it was kind of like the, oh shoot. So the communications or the business that I have now is small, because that's my intention, is to just serve several clients that I've had long term. But as I mentioned before, I'm all in. And through that journey, I've put all of myself professionally into where I'm at now in financial planning. And that has been, it has been the best career move that I've ever made. Not like, oh, you know, I make, you know, X amount of dollars, but it is the most fulfilling thing I've ever done professionally. And I'm well past the honeymoon phase, because it's easy to be like, oh yeah, you did something new, I'm sure it's great, like the grass is so green over here, you know. But it is it's awesome.
And so what is so awesome about financial planning specifically for you?
It's the free donuts, really. That's really all it is. Is that, no, I have a bad habit. No, it is, like I said before, with all the stuff or solutions I was selling, I got the most jazzed when I was aligned with my clients. And with financial planning, success happens when the client and I become partners, or the client becomes partners with my team. Because if I'm able to connect with that person and vice versa, and they know that I am on their side. I mean, my job as a financial planner is to find specific answers or paths, roadmaps to kind of really nebulous questions that evolve over time. That in itself is fun, because I get to solve a puzzle that's kind of moving as time goes on. Mm-hmm. But there's no stone left unturned. So I'm not interacting with the person as, well, you just need to buy more of A, or don't buy B, or whatever. It's okay, like, let's figure out who you are as a person, where you're going, and then we can figure out what best method is. And those conversations are super fun. It's like, if you have a meeting or you get together with an old friend for coffee, and it's one of those, like, you blink and 2 hours go by. Mm-hmm. I get to have more of those meetings professionally, and they're productive. I don't just sit here and blah, you know, but it is, it's a really cool feeling. So
you talked a little bit about your entrepreneurship journey and sort of what you wish you would have known. And I know as I develop and grow my own business in coaching, and especially coaching young people, I wonder what you might say to someone maybe just out of high school or just out of college who is considering starting their own business. Besides reading E-Myth Revisited, what would you say to somebody, like, young, bright-eyed, enthusiastic, passionate, ready to go all in and start their own thing?
Whatever you do, and this applies to way more than this situation, but be curious. So much like parents love to talk about their own kids, business owners love to talk about their own businesses. And I'm not suggesting you go in there and be like, tell me about your business. Oh, well, let me blah. But for somebody that's aspiring, like, I'm going to open my own business, they see a really cool business, like, find a way to engage that ideal business owner that you see, maybe even that same type of market or business you want to build. And even if you can't get one-on-one time with them, research, try to find them on social media or listen to podcasts that they're on, because they'll leave little clues. Because just because something is, and I don't mean like, oh, it's all a lie. It could be the best thing. And maybe you just really are that well put together, and you can make connections or whatever, right? And you could be the most incredible entrepreneur. But it is, I think of it like an accelerated way to shadow, right? Because the quote unquote traditional model, go to school for whatever XYZ discipline or profession. Oh, I'm going to shadow them. That's kind of what I'm talking about. If you get to shadow them, that'd be even more awesome. But at the very least, think about who you feel is successful and do some homework and see, like, is that really the life? Because you'll see the highlight reel that social media puts out, like, oh, they're visionary, they're this and that. They do not show the Gary Vee is a perfect example. He talks openly about it, right? Yes, he has all his vision and success and stuff like that, but it is, in some instances, a massive grind. And the failure rates are overwhelming in financial advisor. I mean, the washout rate between years one and three is astronomical. And I'm okay with that because I wouldn't say blind faith, but I've done enough and I've had enough experiences to know that this is my calling and I will not and I cannot fail. And that's the first job career that I've had where I've felt that way.
Nice. Yeah. What I heard you say and emphasize a lot was connecting, making connections with people, whether it is online or in person, and being open to learning, being curious about what's going on. So I think that I agree with you 100% that is super, super important.
Yeah.
What are some of the best connections or shadowing or mentoring experiences you've had?
Probably there is, and this sounds kind of funny for how long I've been in sales, but I really didn't know what effective networking was. Up until a couple of years ago, networking to me meant that I went to trade shows where my potential customers attended, you know, a couple of times a year, and that was it. Mm-hmm. And then I started, I was one of the last 9-to-5 jobs that I had. They were a part of like a local chamber, and they were part of a different business group. And it was kind of a good shock, but it was a shock for me. And I'm like, and at first I approached it like a typical salesperson, like, oh, let me pitch to you. And like, like no better way to just attract people. And there's a mentor, a gentleman I know, and he helped me understand that it's not about me, like at all. That in addition to being curious, it's what value can I add? And not like what value can I add to make selling something sound good, but like genuinely, does this person just need someone to talk to about something that's happening at home? Do they just need, I really need an accountant. Guess what? I'm not an accountant, but I know one here. Have you met this person? Mm-hmm. Things like that. And when I really understood that, like more than just superficially, but I felt that made networking a lot more fun. But to answer your question, there's a couple groups. One in particular I like, and I think you're part of too now, is Idea Collective. Mm-hmm. I mean, big shout out to them because it is really about support and resources and knowledge for and best practices for small businesses and business owners or even aspiring business owners in a non-selling environment. It's right. Really cool. And there's a bunch of different types of coaches that are are members there, and they're always willing to help and stuff like that. So it's just
absolutely,
that is a really cool environment. It sounds kind of clinical, but that would be a safe place, right? Because they even have like one, this is a really long, like non-paid commercial, right? But one of the coolest like regular things they have is called an idea slam. And so you're like, okay, well, what's that? Let's say if I'm going to start a new marketing thing. You show up on here and there's these, you know, different experts on Zoom. And, you know, you raise your hand and say, hey, I'm thinking about a marketing plan. And they can help you right then and there. And most of them are coaches or have different experiences. And it is
some
like
marketing
this,
professionals, some,
yes. Yeah. And it is like this, it's just it's a massive
copywriters,
resource.
Graphic designers.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a whole slew of different people. Yeah. And again, what I'm hearing you say is connecting with people is important because as a business owner, as a
even as an employee or as somebody who is driven towards success in whatever area they're passionate about, it's important that you get out of your own head every once in a while.
Oof. Yes, 100%.
Yeah. And that's what networking does. That's what just even talking to somebody else in the same business or in a slightly different business or somebody who has a problem that you're seeing, just talking to people, being curious, being open, making those connections. I think I get really excited when I see younger people at networking groups because
it is
so important to be around other people who maybe are doing similar things, but maybe not. And just seeing the variety and the willingness and openness of people to share their stories and help each other and offer value, whether it's something they sell or not. The Idea Collective is a great, great space to do that. Shout out to Pat Miller, the Idea Coach, and the Idea Collective crew, because they are exactly the people you're talking about. And I know there are many other groups that do, you know, similar things. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the bullet point, the bottom line of that whole thing is get connected. Don't grow it alone. That's the Idea Collective, you know, tagline. Don't grow it alone. It's your business or it's your passion or it's your life. I think a lot of people who want to do something and grow something or build something or find success in some way, we do a lot of, you know, what you talked about earlier, researching and, you know, finding out information and reading lots of books or seeking out podcasts or seminars or things like that. And we do a lot of information gathering. And if we don't actually take that step out and reach for a connection or somebody else to give us perspective, we can get stuck in all of that.
Amen. So you say that, and the same mentor that helped me understand what the real meaning of effective networking and building your social network means also called me out in a pretty hilarious manner. Cause I was like, oh, I gather so much information. I'm so smart. I know this and this and this. And he's like, hey, genius, do you know why you research? I'm like, yeah. So I can obviously be, you know, super smart and knowledgeable. He's like, no, because it's safe. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, because you don't have to execute. You can just talk about it and you research it. I'm like, oh, dear Lord. And that was
I think we've talked about that a little bit before as
well.
That
was one of those moments. I'm like, oh, and he was right.
Yeah.
And it is, and people are transformational, right? Some of us change very, very slowly. Some of us are actively seeking it out. Even if we sat on the couch for all of our lives, our bodies are transforming into our older selves. And I am actively pushing to transform to the best possible version of myself, both personally, you know, as a husband, as a father, and as a professional. But that requires a whole lot of action. And that's what I wasn't doing, is I had some action. And the, you know, the excuse monster is always around the corner. That's why, like, I come into the office all the time. I applaud your discipline for being at home for some of it, because I'm like, hey, I should do this. What's that pile of laundry? I guess I should fold you. Or, oh, I probably should wax the roof. Or there's always something else to
wax the roof. Interesting.
I might have made that one up. You can tell I'm a home maintenance expert. I've done a lot of research. It's a pretty regular thing.
Yes. A lot of research on the roof waxing. I hear that. And shooting on yourself is definitely a thing that happens.
I love it. That's right. You said it before. I love that. It is so.
And that I do, I have gotten out and spend some office hours in cafes around town. And you said a lot there. And I wanted to go back to the thing.
Sorry.
Taking action.
Yes.
So going back to taking action. I talk a lot in the podcast about structure giving us freedom, because I found that in the martial arts as well as in business, the structure, the way I structure my days makes a difference, especially being at home, like you said. And you talked a little bit about, before we hopped on the recording, about how you structure your days.
Yes.
Why don't you share a little bit about what you do and what that does for you?
It, for me, part of this whole thing is the self-awareness, or, you know, figuring out what I need to do, but kind of like the theme of what we're talking about is, you know, jumping into action. So I'm still figuring this out to this day. Like, when am I, you know, sharpest? What will help me focus the most? What am I trying to accomplish? You know, where am I spiritually, right? So what I do, I would like to do it more often, but I wake up early, and maybe about like 5:30, although like this morning was later, but ideally I get up at 5:30 and have, I work out. I just bought one of those like kind of small universal machines for not that much at Dunham's or whatever, and like put it in a room downstairs and have some free weights, nothing too dramatic. But for me, it was eliminating the excuse of like driving to a gym. Oh, it's snowing out or whatever. It has to be. My number one enemy in the morning is my head trash. And not that I'm a negative person, but it's like, I wake up and like, I picture like, and these are just the visuals I have. I picture like an old time press room, right? And guys running around and gals, right, with those big sleeves and the visors, like, oh my gosh, the presses are going to blow. And there's just newspaper flying everywhere. That's my head in the morning. My subconscious is just blah, shitting all over itself. And so exercise helps me kind of get control of that, and then
turn the volume down.
Yeah, turn the volume down. I pray, you know, I stretch, I set an intention, or I ask for, you know, when I pray, I ask for guidance, I ask for, you know, focus. And that ties into my values, that my values are growth, impact, and excellence. So, you know, help me make an impact to somebody. Help me be a blessing to somebody else. You know, please let your blessings, you know, come to me. And then I try to visualize the day. If I have meetings, what does an ideal outcome look like? You know, what do I want to happen? And what could they possibly ask? And sometimes that gets compressed, right? Because I wake up later or whatever. The trick that I'm finding out, like live now, is that having some sort of anchor meeting makes it kind of a non-miss thing. So like for the first 2 or 3 weeks when the kids were out of school, I like slept in. I'm like, why am I not getting up on time? Because I don't have to. You know, those days I didn't have morning meetings, whereas like I know when the alarm goes off at 5:30, if I don't get my butt out of bed, I'm not going to have time to take a shower, you know, and facilitate the chaos of three monkeys getting out the door on time for school. So, you know, set a meeting with yourself, with whatever, you know, office hours at a coffee shop, whatever it may be, to help eliminate those excuses. That's just my journey.
Yeah. It just, the path of least resistance, right? Like you're going to want to resist waking up because you're comfortable in your bed. And that's true for a lot of different things is, okay, we're comfortable in whatever area of our lives and we resist changing it because it's comfortable, even if we know that making a change will make it better. It's similar for diet, it's similar for personal growth, it's similar for, you know, any other kind of job you might want to do. And it's when that pain of staying comfortable becomes bigger than the pain of making the change or getting up and doing the thing. That's when that can actually happen. So if we can do everything possible to eliminate any barrier for doing the thing that we know we should do, that we tell ourselves, oh, I should do that, I should do this. If you, like you're saying, you connect with your calendar, that's something, okay, I have a meeting. So that's something that will motivate me externally and also internally, even if it's your calendar for yourself or your meeting with yourself or a specific thing that you know you enjoy or that you know you have to be to because you need to get whatever it is done. Yeah, I think breaking down those barriers to our own resistance is super important. And
it is. I think one thing that, and I'm learning this very recently, is that in the financial world, you know, you say you know, set a budget, people are like, ooh, I don't want to be precise. Like, that's just, like, I don't even want to do that. And that's sometimes my job. But with time management, you say, oh, you know, I don't like to live, you know, I don't want my calendar to tell me what to do. I want more freedom. So there is, I guess, another book shout out. So one of the things that the tools that my firm uses is called 12-Week Year. It is a really cool system. So it talks about, you know, identifying what your mission, vision, and values are.
Yeah, you mentioned your personal values, and I know I was going to ask a follow-up on that too.
Yeah, and no, I'm excited to talk about that. So the 12-Week Year is all built around the concept of periodization. So in the, I think it was like the 70s or 80s, Eastern European athletes were like crushing it. And you know, the Western athletes and coaches are like, okay, what are they doing different? And they found out that their training regimens was periodization. So for, you know, 12 weeks, they would work on X skill or X fundamental, like religiously. Right. And then the next 12 weeks, it would be something else. And then they would layer in other training. So it was almost like a ground up approach. Mm-hmm. And in sales, or frankly in business, a common theme is that, you know, well, not a lot's happening. You get really, really busy. Okay. You know, in the beginning, you're calling, you know, whatever clients or customers, a lot of marketing. Oh, now I don't have time to do it. I'm getting really, really busy. And then all that activity wanes, and then you're back at the bottom because you didn't call. There's all these cycles, and usually it's quarterly or whatever, but it compresses 12 months into 12 weeks. So instead of sitting down and trying to commit to an annual plan, which is really, really tough to do, especially when you're starting a business, because things can change pretty darn quick. Mm-hmm. It has you compress that to 12 weeks, and it ties in metrics and the other stuff. But it's a little nerdy, but that has been a game changer. Okay, full circle back. To answer the original question, the calendar, part of like setting, I set buffer blocks. So instead of doing the Pavlov's dog of like, oh, my email dinged or whatever, they're set like maybe if you know Monday, right? Monday's a typical like, oh, geez, I got to deal with all this stuff. Set a 2-hour block and just answer emails during those 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the week, maybe set a strategic block. And the 12-week year talks about this, but that's where you reflect what went well this week. What do I want to happen next week? What do I need to change? So building the ideal calendar isn't about, oh, I have to be super precise, like a Swiss watch on all these times. It's saying, what am I, your calendar ultimately should reflect what you want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. If you want to build a marketing program to build and support awareness for your business, then there probably should be some times in there where you're actively working on that. Because if you set it, like, oh, I'll do that in between clients. Like, no, you won't.
Right.
You'll do follow-up, you'll do notes, you'll do whatever else.
So. Yeah. Going back to the taking action towards what you really want to do.
That was a really long answer towards
ties back in together. Yeah. And the structure of those habits and the structure of the routine and the structure of designing your calendar with intention instead of reacting to whatever is going to come up. Cause there will always be things that come up. I think that's something adults and kids and all of us are dealing with is all the external distractions that we have in our lives.
Dear Lord.
And I think, you know, you mentioned your top three core values. And I think when you prioritize according to those, whether it's values, whether it's purpose, passion, whatever that thing is that drives you, that motivates you, your why, whatever that might be, talk about how that aligning, defining your values helps you align and prioritize your schedule. And then we'll wrap up quick here.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I'll try not to be too long-winded. Sorry. There's all different sources about trying to define your values. How I did it was at the time I was listening to, is it Darren Hardy? He has some motivational stuff or whatever, but he has an exercise where you go through this laundry list of words. What do you identify with? For me, I use those to help figure out what an ideal career or kind of my creative outlet is, right? So I need to personally, I need to be growing. My position, whatever I'm doing, has to have some element of growth, like flexibility. I can go this way or go that way and to serve or to change. Impact. I have to make a discernible to me. I have to make a discernible impact to somebody. And when I was selling products, I'd say, decades ago, okay. Yes, widgets can solve a problem, but I have found with financial planning, like I can help somebody realize something about their life and their path that they didn't realize before. And then I have the tools and the team to help them get there. That is maximum impact for me.
Mm-hmm.
And excellence, I cannot, for the life of me, and my wife can back this up, or anybody that knows me, I can't idle. I don't idle well. I barely can make it through movies. Or if I see a movie about something inspiring, I'm like, we should build a boat. I'm like, my wife's like, that was the Titanic. I'm like, we can build a better one. It's, oh. So I just, I might have exaggerated a little bit, but like whatever I do, I don't want to drive. I'm old enough now. I'm not old enough, like, oh, I'm old, but like I'm gaining wisdom in that I don't have to self-deprecate because I'm not the best. I used to do that a lot when I was younger, and that's a fool's errand, right? Like, oh, I need to be the best. Like, really? You need to? Like, I need to be the best to my ability and then maybe try to stretch a little bit further. But that's what I mean by excellence. So I'm like, oh, well, you know, the clients, they had an okay experience, or I think we kind of found an answer. I'm like, no, let's like exhaust all resources. What else can I be doing?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. And asking yourself those questions when it comes to your values, what does excellence look like? What would make the maximum impact here? How am I growing, or how am I helping somebody else grow? I think that when you can frame the results you want through the values that are core to yourself, to who you are, I think that again, it makes you feel productive, feel successful, and
fulfilled
and moves you forward, you know, even more effectively. So I love that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Great question.
Now you have a event coming up.
Yes.
Would you like to talk a little bit about your round table on August 9th?
I would. It's a coffee table. I'm such a wise cracker. So August 9th, myself and several other, industry professionals are holding a roundtable about exit strategy for small businesses. And so August 9th at, what is it, O'Donohue's Irish Pub in Elm Grove. But even if you are a newer business owner and you're like, yeah, I'm just getting started, I don't need to be thinking about...
That's what I was going to say was, well, we've just been talking about starting businesses and figuring it out and getting going. Why should somebody think about an exit strategy if they're in that place?
There is the big shocker here is that 100% of business owners will exit their business at some time, period, right? Ideally, you want to capture or recapture all of that effort, all of the time and energy you put into that business in the form of some sort of legacy or retirement goal or something. And just like, for athletes out there, right? You don't just start running a marathon and like somebody at the end kind of like says, yeah, that's good enough. You have to have an end in mind. And mm-hmm. And it can change, but it's the same with the financial plan, right? I full well know the longer, and for basically anything, right? The longer you plan out, the more flexible you have to be. But if there's some things you can look out for or learn or plan for at the beginning, and it can better equip you for the end, even if it's mm-hmm. just knowledge. Yeah. That's why I invite newer business owners, because just like I see this as a business book, like many networking conversations, you know, be engaged, but see what nuggets or questions you have from it. And be like, if you have like one thing that comes from that, and be like, okay, so maybe when I get this big, I might need some financial resources, or I could do this or whatever, but that's the kind of insight you can get.
Great. Yeah. And I think that's really important, especially for younger people and for, you know, newer businesses, is whether it's the exit plan for the end of your career or the exit plan for, you know, when you want to change businesses or change directions, because that happens too along the life of a entrepreneur. We don't always just start one business and stick to it forever.
Well, the serial entrepreneur, or all joking aside, right? Think about restaurateurs when the pandemic hit. Some of them, you know, because of PPP, some of them were able to weather the storm. That's great. But unfortunately, there was a lot that were like, this is ridiculous. You know, I can't find workers or whatever else they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do now?
Yeah. Be curious, plan for the unexpected. Have resources, know who to talk to.
Yeah.
Right.
No, don't ever
be fearful.
Does
that sum it up, what we talked about?
Yes. See, I feel like I should just blah. And then you come by and be like, all right, that's seven words, genius. You could have just said that. Like, all right, thanks. Like the
Reader's Digest. No, I think that's all part of the process. And I think, again, the intention of me sharing this podcast and having you on is to just have a great conversation. And I think it's really important, like you said at the very beginning, be curious and hear from people, hear from real actual people doing like real life things. And whether you take with you and remember all the words, or a few of the words, or a few of the ideas, but none of the words, like, I think that's all important. And that's kind of why I'm here, is because our voices are important. Our experiences, our stories can help others in some way. So that's why we're here. And I Absolutely. Appreciate you being here and sharing your story and talking with me, because it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, it is. And thank you for the invite. It's always great to catch up. And it's, yeah, this is really cool. Thanks.
No, you're welcome.